You know I'm a faggot. That much is true. Well, I'm just a faggot on my knees for you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Hierarchy Podcast. It's a production of the website FagsWorshipAlphas.com. I'm Sam the Faggot, and it is Thursday, February 17th, 2022. Hope you're doing well. I am fine, thank you. I'd just like to, first and foremost, I've been ordered to do this by an alpha, that I should be at the front of every podcast reminding the listeners out there that this website comes out of my pocket for the most part. And so any donations that you see fit to put forward in order to keep the podcast running, keep the website running and everything else, it's always very appreciated and usually very necessary. So I do appreciate it. All of my payment information is on the sticky post at the front of the website. So there you go. I got PayPal, I got Cash App, and of course there's Patreon. So there's ways to contribute to helping this message get out there even farther. So today I'm going to be recording two podcasts. One is going to be a general podcast. This one is the general podcast. And then I'm going to also do a Patreon-only podcast. And that topic for today is how to approach an alpha. So there's a little bit of extra learning out there. But you're going to have to pay for it. I'm sorry. I'm tired of giving away everything that I do here. Okay, so but what I wanted to talk about today, well, first of all, let's kind of catch up on a few things. So first of all, we have some great news as far as Jamie, the fag wife of Master Dino, and basically fag mother to the alphas and faggots living in that compound, Master Dino's compound. Of course, anybody who's been following along on the website knows that Jamie received bad news about recurrence of cancer, the third time that Jamie's had cancer. And it was serious cancer, the cancer of, you know, not like the not serious kind, right? It was cancer of the spine and also the liver. And they did a surgery. Jamie had tests done Monday, and they came back that actually the radiation, which is very powerful radiation, you know, is actually working. So they've seen a definite improvement. The small nodules that are still remaining are shrinking. So that's very good news, you know. I know Jamie is very, very strong, so yeah. I mean, I've been just asking the universe every day, you know, to help, you know, give them whatever they need, you know. So it's great to hear that. And, you know, it's caused the alpha sons in the compound. Master Chad, Master Dean, and Master Shane, you know, they've all been really stepping up to help the family hold together. So I really commend those alphas for stepping up and helping, because you know, I know exactly where you know, Jamie's at. I cannot stand being helpless or being waited on, you know. As a faggot, you're just used to, you know, being there and not, you know, not being tended to, but you are the one serving, right? So It's very hard for a faggot to be helpless, you know. So my heart does go out to Jamie for that. And also, oh my gosh, it's like the most wonderful kind of finale to this bullshit with Trump. Today, a judge ordered Donnie Ass Dimples and his crime family to testify. They have to testify in the racketeering case against them in New York. This is the first ball of many balls that are going to start tumbling down the hill onto that fat piece of shit. And the, you know, this demigod that Republican retards have held up as some sort of example. And I hope he gets the fucking chair, okay? For all of his shit that he's done. There are black males sitting in jail for 20 years for a dime bag of pot, and Trump has shit all over the American system of government and everything else. And fuck him, and fuck everybody that supports him. That's my little rant for the day. Okay, well, this episode, I want to talk about, because I had a faggot asked me to describe what it's actually like to be a live-in faggot, okay? So I thought I would do that in this episode, my experiences. Now, you know, disclaimer at the beginning of this, every situation is different. So, you know, everything depends on the alpha, you know, what the faggot's able to do, all sorts of variables. So my situations that I encountered in my fag life are probably different than a lot of other situations, you know. So, but I'm going to talk about my favorite one, okay? And that occurred with a young alpha named Aaron, Master Aaron. He was younger than me, and he was in college at the time. I was out of college and on my own and working full-time and whatever. And I came to be in his service. So we started off just kind of as friends a little bit, and then, you know, I made it clear that I wanted to serve him, you know, and take care of him. Now, he was a straight alpha, all right, when we first met, and he's straight now. I mean, I heard that he's getting married for the second time, so he is straight, you know. He has a kid, etc. But at the time, you know, he was in college, and he was a horny young guy, and he very, very attractive, like, you know, just a perfect face, big muscles, you know. He was not he was shorter than me height wise which is unusual, you know, but he was very, very hot. And it started off with things like foot worship, things of that sort. And then he needed a place to stay while he was in college, and I offered him to stay at my place. I had a big king-size bed. You know, he didn't really have much. And he came to live with me at my condo that I had. We didn't start sexually. You know, it was, I was doing a lot for him at first when he first moved in. And, you know, he knew that I was a faggot by the time he moved in. It didn't bother him. I originally offered to sleep on the couch and give him my bed. Obviously, that's what you do, right? And he didn't want that to happen, okay? He said, no, you can sleep in the bed with me. It's big, and so I don't have a problem with that. You don't have to sleep on your own couch in your own condo, you know. This was the type of alpha he was, you know. So I began to kind of take over the house duties, you know, pretty quickly. Like I began to get up with him in the morning, you know, and I'd make him breakfast and, you know, take care of some things before I went to work. And he would go to school. And I would try to, I didn't live that far from work, so I could come back, you know, on breaks and things of that sort to, you know, get dinner prepared, things of that sort. I would have dinner for him every night. I've mentioned, I think, on the podcast that I make a fucking awesome lasagna. He loved my lasagna. So if I ever wanted the dick, guess what? He got lasagna. And, you know, and like there were times I would come home during the day from work to do some laundry or get, you know, laundry going. Because he went through a lot of laundry. He was working out constantly at the gym, you know, in between classes. And he had like a part-time job, you know. So he was going through clothes like crazy. So, and of course, if you have an alpha male living with you and you're serving him, I mean, it's double and triple of everything. So food, double, triple, you know, laundry, double, triple. So the cleaning, everything else. It was, you know, a lot more work than I was, you know. Now I had been a live-in before, so it wasn't that big of a stretch for me. Anyway, then I would come home from work and I would get dinner prepared while he was working out or whatever he was doing, you know, and he would come home and I would serve him, you know. Now, at first I was sitting at the table with him because he wanted me to do that. But then I told, when our relationship kind of shifted into alpha faggot, you know, in a proper sense, you know, when he kind of accepted me as his faggot and he was started using me sexually, I told him it wasn't proper. I didn't feel it was proper for me to be sitting at the table with him, and he agreed, you know. So from then on, I sat or knelt at his feet, you know, during dinner. And then after dinner, I would clean up and whatever while he relaxed. There was definitely a childlike aspect to him. It was kind of a sweet thing. He would sometimes tell me he wanted me to make him a milkshake, like a homemade milkshake, you know, and serve it to him instead of like an alcoholic beverage or something. And he would just do things like that, you know, and I thought it was kind of endearing, but, and a lot of times he would tell me to draw him a bath, and I had like these special oils and stuff and like scented salts I would put into the water and stuff, and make bubbles and be like kind of a nice relaxing bath, and I'd light candles and whatnot. And then he would tell me that he would want me to take care of his feet. Now I have talked about foot worship on this program, and I became very good at it, you know. And so, you know, I would pull out my stuff whenever he would come out of the bath. I wouldn't necessarily dry him. I mean, it wasn't something he ever required of me. But, like, then he would sit down on the couch and put his feet up and expect me to take care of his feet. And, you know, that meant the whole works. He wanted the whole thing, you know. So it would be a lot of massaging, you know, cleaning of calluses and things of that sort, nails, you know, and then moisturizing and all that other stuff. And, you know, you kind of fall into a routine of this, you know. Once the guidelines are established in an alpha faggot dynamic, a live-in dynamic, you know, you fall into routines of things, and it just becomes second nature. So a lot of this is just repetitive, you know, things that I was doing for him. And eventually, the sexual component took a little bit, like a couple months. He had been seeing sort of this girl, and I knew it wasn't going well. And so one night, he came home late, and I was in bed already. And he, you know, nudged me awake and said, "I need head," you know. And he just kind of took my head and put it down there, and I sucked his cock, you know. And from then on, you know, it was basically sexual relief, sexual service every night, you know. Usually head. He really liked getting head from a faggot. He did fuck me a couple of times, you know, here and there. Like, just when he was really in an aggressive mood, you know. But mostly he wanted to just, you know, relax. Master Aaron was big on relaxation, okay? Like, when he needed to be intense, he was intense. But most of the time, he was kind of a, like a lion, like just a relaxing lion underneath the shade of a tree, just chilling out. That was Master Aaron. And he was like a, he was so big, you know, like he, in terms of musculature, that he just felt like a planet, you know. He felt heavy like a planet. It was, I can't hardly describe it. I can't describe what it was like to sleep next to him or try to sleep next to him, because he was just so big that you just, I just felt like he was constantly pulling me in, you know. Maybe it had something to do with his cock. I don't really know. But there were a couple of times when Master Aaron would take me and, like, he would want to kind of cuddle, I guess. And so he would pull me over to him and, like, put my head on his chest and then, like, wrap his arm over me and kind of drape it over me. And so he would kind of hold me in place. I don't know why he ever did that. I never even asked, you know. I just thought, I'm his body pillow for the night, basically, you know. But, and so that went on, you know, for basically the last year of his college education. And things were just like that, you know. It was day in and day out, you know, just serving him however he wanted me to serve him. We had a less formal alpha faggot dynamic than some other ones, you know, that I've even experienced, but that was my favorite one, because there was just sort of an emotional component to it, you know, that made it, this is, he was one of the alphas that kind of taught me about what it means to serve a man that can treat you like a valued possession, as opposed to just a whole or just a slave. Because Master Aaron was that kind of romantic, I don't want to use the word romantic, because he wasn't romantic with me, okay, but necessarily. But to a faggot, it was very romantic. Does that make sense? So, you know, he would get me roses, you know. I went out of town one time, and I came back, and he had gotten some roses and a little card said, "I missed you," you know. So, anyway. But he wasn't in love with me, okay? Like, don't misconstrue, you know, that. gesture. He was just being nice to his faggot, you know, which is perfectly fine. Now my situation with Master Aaron kind of imploded. It, you know, it was sort of early on in my fag career, I guess in the first 10 years or something. And so I still didn't have a handle on my emotions. So he fell in love with a girl who eventually became his wife. And we had kind of a blowout because I felt like he was using me, you know. And he would fuck her over at my condo, and I'd be just like, it would upset me, you know, when I shouldn't have been upset. And so it didn't kind of end very well, you know. I miss that. I mean, I do miss him, you know, quite a bit because, you know, I'm scent trained on him, you know. So, like, I still smell him. I can recall his scent, and it still, you know, triggers me. So, yeah, it's very deep with him. So, anyway, that's my experience of being a live-in faggot, kind of a day-to-day sort of, you know, without getting, you know, hour to hour of every day, but just kind of an overview of what it's like. I will say this, that being an owned faggot, you know, owned by an alpha male who does cherish and treasure your service to him, there is no other feeling any better than that. And I encourage every faggot to reach out for that. And honestly, I encourage every alpha to expand to that, because owning a live-in faggot is a responsibility, but it's a fulfillment of what you are as an alpha, you know. So, but it's definitely a fulfillment of a faggot's life. And it's something that I'm always going to cherish, those times I was a live-in faggot. And I hope to be able to do it again someday. You know, so I think I will. It's definitely moving in that direction. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. And I hope you got inspired, hopefully. I don't know. And now I'm off to record the special Patreon episode. But I will talk to you all in the general population later, okay? I love you.
Bye.